Would someone like to pray for the word? All right, that's good. Would someone like to pray for the word today? If you would stand up and pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Am I too loud? I'm okay? Okay. Sounds loud to me. All right. If you would open up your Bibles or whatever to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua was a young man that God selected to carry such a beautiful calling. God called this man, and Joshua had to face a lot of things. Would you open up to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and just stand with me, please? Okay, thank you. God is speaking. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your truth, Lord God, that sets us free from any type of oppression. Thank you. You can be seated. I asked myself, what I titled this message is, What Would Jesus Do? And you think about all different situations. What would Jesus do? You know, and I think that sometimes we try to handle things on our own. I know I do sometimes. But what would Jesus do? And to have that mindset, you know, to live in that mindset. If I ask myself this question, what would Jesus do? I might not be happy with the answer. What would I do? That comes easy. The mistakes come easy. But what would Jesus do? I may not be happy with the answer. I mean, you can think of certain situations. If Jesus had to handle that, how would he do that? More than likely, not like me. So this challenges me. You mean, Jesus, I would have to be radical? How radical? When we think of our own situations that we're going through in life now, and how we're handling them, what would Jesus do? I need a renewing of the mind, truly. The mind of Christ. Amen? So Joshua was an example for all of us. I command you to be strong and steadfast. I command you, Joshua, to be strong, to go forth, be steadfast. Be strong and steadfast. Resolutely, dutifully, firm, unwavering, devoted. Be strong, I command you, and be steadfast. God repeated it, be strong, three times to Joshua, because there was a task ahead of him. Amen? Moses was buried, and here's Joshua. All these people to lead. all the decisions to make, hearing the voice of God. Joshua had to focus, he had to be faithful, he had to be filled with courage and obedience. He had to be courageous. Jesus was faithful, Jesus was focused, Jesus was courageous, Jesus was obedient, and Joshua and Jesus had to have that spirit. And Joshua had to have that mindset and go forth with an anointing to be effective as one as, and he was effective as one as Israel's leaders. What a calling. Again, I repeat, in every situation, what would Jesus do? I can feel the Spirit sometimes so strong, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. And when I feel Holy Spirit, it is like, I feel like I'm not me. I feel like, whew, I've been upgraded. I feel like there's a moving on me. And I love when I can actually feel him with me. Right? You go after that. You hunger for that. Amen? Feels like I'm even a magnet for others. And when I'm feeling that, that's usually when he brings a situation, somebody in a store or somewhere, and all of a sudden, I'm talking to somebody. And I want to live in that realm. I want to be aware to the Spirit of God, sensitive to him, to his voice, to his power, his knowledge, his heart that's after God. I'm telling you, in the end times, it's all about Holy Spirit. Oh, of course, God. Oh, of course, Jesus, but it's their spirit. And he is the one that is going to lead us, guide us, empower us. Amen? Amen. We can't do anything without him. And I believe that God is so awesome to his children. And when we ask for good things, he's such a good father and so ready to give us good. So an increase of the Spirit, we ask for that. You know, when I can feel him, the discernment is there. The discernment is clear. I'm well aware that he is near. When he's near me, I can feel him. It's easy to sit in your house and devote some time to God, worship, pray, read the word. But when you leave the house and you still feel him, that's what it's all about. Sense him. That's what it's all about. We're never alone. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Smile. It's a good message, right? Okay. So I can feel the Holy Spirit when I need him the most. Sometimes when we do need him the most, all these thoughts are flooding us and, you know, can be overpowering. But if he gets still in the midst of the storm, he's there. Trials sharpen and enlarge our need of him. So trials, he said, there'll be many trials and tribulations. Why, God? I'm your child. Why am I down here with trials? Oh, I'm about to work. Haven't I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage and be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Let's read Psalm 139. Let's read it and let's take it in. You know that our Father loves us more than we can imagine. Not only does he love us, he's in love with us. Yes, 139. Think about it, and just take, like I said, just take this in. This is God. He made sure this was in the Bible so that you would read it, so that you would be fed by it and led by it, and so that you would be strong. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. This is a father for you. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts of me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Wow. This is our God. He is a father. Happy Father's Day, God. Blessed Father's Day. We bless you, God. You are the greatest, the wonderful, wonderful Father that we love. Oh, be blessed, Lord God, as we thank our human fathers, Lord, amongst us. But Lord, we look up to you. You are the Father of all, of all. You are worthy of all our praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving and love. Thank you, Lord. So when we read that, isn't that so comforting? It is so true, nothing but truth, that how much, and we could read about it, we could talk about it, but we could really never know how much our Father loves us until we see Jesus, till we look in his eyes. And then we will get not just a feeling, but such a description of the Father's love and the brother's love, Jesus Christ. Father and Jesus are one. We cannot forget about that love. We should meditate on the truth about the love of God all day long, in the morning, and all through the day. At night, when you put your head on the pillow, think about the wonderful God that you have, who saw you forming in your mother's womb, who called you forth when you were born, who would never leave you, never forsake you, and who has so many good things for each and every one of us. I want us to turn to Zephaniah chapter 3, if you will. In verse 16, it says, "Do not fear, Zion," speaking to Israel, speaking to the Jewish people. Do you know that God sees us as one with them? "Let not your hands be weak." Again, be strong and courageous in your midst. "The Lord thy God, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will sing over you. He will rejoice over you with singing." This is the kind of Father we serve and we know. Each one of us, when we came to know Jesus Christ, what happened? The love of God came in. It was the love of God that all of a sudden we could feel it. And we all knew, if we were all came to that place, we know, and we still know, that we didn't deserve it. Amen? And yet, to look at that cross and to see his son, we think in our minds, every drop of blood coming out of the Son of God, and everything was for us to be able to know the King, worship him, receive his love, love him, begin to walk in the kingdom. What would Jesus do? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. You have a situation in your life? You have somebody that's really getting under your skin? What would Jesus do? Renew our minds, Lord God. Okay. Romans 12. Verse 1 says to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And then it says, do not be conformed to this world. We live in this world, but don't be conformed to it. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's a transformation. I know I talk about the mind a lot. I think about the mind a lot. There's a transformation. It's a renewing of the mind to, as we grow in Christ, to receive more and more of his mind and our minds being renewed. You know, I remember when we first got saved, the silly things that bothered me about people or whatever. Oh my God, no. It didn't matter anymore. We want the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So it's something to pray about. Let's pray right now. Father, we can't transform our minds, Lord God. But I know, we know that you can, and that you can by your word. We know that the word is a two-edged sword, God, cutting away what shouldn't be there, God. So, Father, we ask you to do surgery on us, God, on our brains, on our minds, our souls, our will, our emotion, oh God. Do brain surgery on us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we want to bless you, God. We want to walk, God, in the center of your will for our lives, in Jesus' name. See, we can be more like Jesus if our minds are more like his mind and his ways of thinking. Amen? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I don't want to be religious. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to, you know, oh, I have to memorize 15 scriptures every day, and they'll change my mind, and maybe I'll be a better person. I don't want to, No, ask, and you shall receive. Ask, because God sees our hearts. And that's what Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to turn there to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5-11. And I read this portion of scripture the last time I spoke. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Humble. He humbled himself. Amen. Oh, we want to be like him. You know what? In our relationships with each other, in your relationship with one another, we need to have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, relationally. That's very important to God. I know that it is. Paul taught this scripture. He had a desire to accurately represent our Lord. And so in speaking about him, he was saying, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, and the way he lived and humbled himself. Let's do that. Let's follow him, is what he was saying. He had a desire, like I said, to accurately represent our Lord. He urged his followers to reflect humility, self-sacrifice, and the compassion of Jesus for others. So that's what we have to do. I think about myself so much. But to have the compassion that Jesus had for others, Jesus died for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, that we would love each other with a godly love. What would Jesus do? Jesus certainly had compassion for the people, but his dedication was to his Father. Listen to that. Jesus had compassion for the people, but his dedication was to his Father. And his Father had compassion for the people, and that's why he sent his Son. Now, I just want to bring out this example. And Jesus Christ is our example. Amen? And unless we have more of the mind of Christ, we cannot take on, or we cannot really be an example to show others who Jesus is, was on the earth, and still is. And I want to tell you, I want to just let us look at this beautiful true story. Beautiful true story. Years ago, I saw this man who spoke, and I was speechless, because we all want the heart and the mind of Christ. Listen to this. This is a true story. It's about a man. Well, first of all, a man was telling a whole group of people this story. And it's about a man. Well, he was in church. Let me just say this, that this man was in church, and he was actually telling the story, and he had all these people listening. It's a true story about a man who took his son and his son's friend fishing. They were sailing off the Pacific coast when a fast approaching storm blocked any attempt to get back to shore. The waves were so high that even the father, who was an experienced sailor, could not keep the boat afloat. The three were swept into the ocean as the boat capsized. Grabbing a rescue line, the father had to make a decision, the most excruciating decision of his life. To which boy would he throw the other end of the line? He had only seconds to make the decision. The father knew his son was a Christian, but he also knew his friend's son was not. The agony of his decision could not match the torrents of the waters. As the father yelled out, "I love you, son," he threw out the lifeline to his son's friend. By the time the father had pulled the friend back to the capsized boat, his son had disappeared beneath the raging swells of the ocean, never to be reached. Then the man who was sharing this story to everyone else said, "This is a true story, and you see, I was that father, and your pastor was my son's friend." Pretty radical, huh? Pretty radical. When you think of the mind of Christ, and I think about how God threw that line out to each one of us. What a father we serve. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to love you more than anyone else. To love you more than even our children. Father God had to let his son die so that we could go on living through eternity. Amen? Amen. So let's stay deep. This is pretty deep. Let's stay deep. I heard another true story by a pastor. And the pastor was the father of four little boys. I had four little boys. The father was waiting in the front of his house with his four sons for the school bus.
The school bus pulled up in front of his home, and the three of his sons got on the bus. The other little boy was only 3 years old and was standing by the father. Others entered the bus as well. Their moms or dads were there to see the children off. And the pastor's sons were waving to him as the bus began to move forward. The littlest boy, and the way he described him was he was so cute, he was so adorable, blonde hair, blue eyes, sweetest little thing. He went under the bus, and he was run over by the bus. It happened in a sudden flash. When the pastor picked up his handsome, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, beautiful, and precious child, he was dead. Everyone was crying. This was on TV also. Everyone was crying. The father was crying. The mother wasn't there. The bus driver got out, hysterical. The three brothers got off the bus. Everyone crying, weeping. The pastor, with the little child in his arms, knelt down and said out loud, enough for everyone to hear, "Father, I lift up my little son as a sacrifice for whatever purposes and plans you have and want to bring to pass." The pastor's church then, after this terrible thing, tragedy that happened, his church exploded with people. It was a big church, exploded with people. Not only people, but I believe there were miracles, signs, and wonders, and most of all, salvation. Many, 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 many salvations, one after another. Can you imagine? I mean, it's so much a wake-up call, isn't it? Isn't it? And I think of my own life and how it can be so far away from the center of God's will. Do you understand what I'm saying? Using my own mind instead of the mind of God. We need to be transformed. The transformation of the renewing of the mind. Of the mind. That one dad, that his father, he yelled out, "Son, I love you." And he threw the line to his son's friend. He's going to be with his son for eternity. And he knew that that other boy was not a believer. And so he did what Father God would have done. Out of himself, out of his own flesh, and in the spirit. And I think that the church has to arise. I have to arise and be more spiritual minded, Christ-like minded. Because we say it all the time. We've been chosen for such a time as this. And we haven't seen it yet, what's coming, people. We haven't seen it. I'm speaking to myself as well as to all of us. Praise the Lord. Praise God. The story reminds me of Job. You know, I think we all probably know the story of Job. He lost his whole family. One afternoon, the whole family, all of his children, a tremendous family, all wiped out. And not only that, but the farm, the cattle, but how he was going, what he was going through, such turmoil, and speaking to God and crying out to God and trying to make sense out of everything. All of his children. And then God moved in his life. God opened up his mind. If you read the last chapter of Job, all of a sudden, His mind was transformed, and he understood so deeply with fullness. And then God gave him a whole, you know, slew of other children, about a dozen, I think. But the joy and the complete understanding of an infinite God and God's limitless blessings, impossible to measure. And he too knew that his children would be in heaven and he would be with them one day. But what he found was so much more of God. He knew God on another level and another depth. And he walked with God for all of the days of his life from then on, so closely, with great, great understanding. The Bible doesn't tell us all the works that he was able to do for others with such great understanding, bring them into the depth of the knowledge of God and the love of God. But God works mysteriously, miraculously, deeper than our thoughts, higher than our thoughts. But to have the mind of Christ is what we need now, in the days to come, and to our last breath. Because if we can grasp hold of some of the mind of God, we can change lives with what we know, with what we've experienced. We can touch lives. We can react to situations the way God would have us to, with might, with power, with anointing that breaks yokes. Mercy, love, abundance of life to the fullness. Stand with me, please. Do you want to carry mercy? How about an amen? Do you want to carry love to others? The abundance of life to the fullness. Jesus didn't die a little bit. He died completely on that cross. And when he hung on that cross, he gave it all. He gave it all. Why are we happy? Why are we content with just a little measure? Go for the gusto. Go for it all. Ask God. Ask God for what he would want to give you. What he would consider a treasure for our lives. And more than likely, it won't be for us, but it will be for others. In sight of God, that not only carried him through, Jesus, but miraculous wonders, signs, power, and abundant joy that filled his remaining years, Jesus, until he would die on the cross, but also the two fathers that I spoke of. Their lives changed, and they moved with joy. They knew the glory of God. They spoke what happened, and they continued to touch lives with, like I said, a great, great, deep anointing that breaks yokes off of people, with signs, wonders, miracles, healings. The world has to know the love of the Father and accept his offer. The world has to know the love of the Father. Most people believe in God. I don't know. I imagine, I know that godless people seem to be multiplying, but so is the church. But the world has to know the love of God, the Father, and accept his offer to rescue them and take hold of the lifeline he's throwing out to them. And you're going to be part of that lifeline to bring others. We have Christian community, Christian fellowship. We break bread together. We have our meetings, either in church or at homes or whatever. Great, great. But there are greater things than these, because there's a lost and dying world. And I think that our mindsets have to change, that we would have more of the mind of Christ. And be bold. And be bold. It is not our, we can't save people, but we can tell them about the Lord. Jesus already did the work. We can't be responsible if they say no. We're responsible to speak it and bring it before them. Amen? And leave it with them and pray. So, Father, I pray, God, that I messed up with the message here and there. That's okay. Because, Lord God, what they hear, what I hear, is coming from you. And we hear it loud and clear. So, Father, I ask, God, that you would bring an interest, an increase of our interest, an increase, oh God, of our burden for the lost. And when we go to the supermarket, when we go here, when we go there, Lord God, wherever you would lead us, that we would have an anointing, that we would open up our mouths, that we would plant seeds all over the place and then leave them for you to water and for you to bring the increase, the increase. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that we would be more bold with such love that, Father, when we speak to people, they will sense love. Sometimes they think, oh, she'll get more credit the more people she talks to. She'll get more rewards. Oh, no, 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 God. No, let there be an anointing when we speak with deep, deep love, Lord God, for the lost. That anointing that can break the yokes of misunderstanding, the yoke of sin, God, the yoke of hardness of heart, Lord God. Let us, give us that anointing, Father, that would break up the ground, Lord. And then, Father, maybe we could water those seeds or somebody else will put it in your hands. But renew our minds, Lord God. These people that we read about today, that we heard about, how they put you first, even before their own loved ones, God. That father got down and he raised up his son in his arms and he said, let this be a sacrifice for souls. And it was, God, and it was. That other father, Lord God, that threw that line out to the unsaved friend of his son, that unsaved friend became a pastor. And I heard that the church was full and thriving. God, give us the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us the mind of Christ. Renew our thinking, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we all ask you in your son's name today. And we thank you that we are beginning to receive it. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. All kinds of goodies inside.
Wait. We just want to pray for the fathers.
Oh, the fathers. Don't leave the room.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Hallelujah. I tell you what, everybody sit down. Everybody sit down. I know we don't have a whole lot of dads here this morning, but if you are a father, would you stand? Would you stand with me this morning?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure you're a father figure, Scott.
And it's just a few of us. You know, as I was thinking back there, being a father today is probably more difficult than it ever has been in the past. For my father, his father, it was a different world. It was a different society. All the absolutes are out the window. Today, everybody in the past agreed on what was right or wrong, moral, immoral, acceptable, unacceptable. Today, it's all according to how you feel that morning when you get up. So I want to pray for each and every one of us here. Some of us have our children are now fathers, our sons. Some of our grandsons are now fathers, and they're raising their children in a world that is so different, so difficult, so compromised, so ungodly. that they need prayer more than ever, ever before. So I want to pray for you that are standing here this morning. And I want to, as you receive prayer, pray also for your sons and your grandsons who are fathers, that they would have the wisdom and understanding and relationship with God to be able to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Amen? So now I ask everybody else here to just extend your hand toward these men. Father, I pray that you would reach down your mighty hand by the power of your Spirit and let it rest upon each and every one of these fathers, Lord, that you would continue to use them if they still have children of their own at home to be able to raise them and know what the mind of Christ is, as we heard this morning. May it be in them. And Father, for their sons and their grandsons who are now raising children, Father, I pray that you would extend that blessing to them, Lord, that even in the midst of this crazy mixed up world that we live in, they would be able to isolate their children and pour into them the word of God, the fear of God, and the knowledge of God like never before. Father, we thank you for what you've done in our lives as we raised our own children. Father, and I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our extended families. So, Father, once again, reach down your hand. May your blessing be upon each and every one of us and our sons and our grandsons, Lord. We thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and you're going to do. We will always remember in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Take pictures. So and they left us a whole bunch of goodies. So come enjoy. Come enjoy.
Amen. God bless you. Join us in there.